Your local children's hospital is full of superheroes. Superhero patients. They wear gowns instead of capes and often fight evil on a microscopic level. And just like the doctors, nurses, and staff, you can help decimate illnesses and enemy foes for sick and injured children by gaming. Join Extra Life, a community of 50,000 gamers that play games and heal kids. Register at extra-life.org.
Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Modern Times?
I enjoyed it quite much,
yeah.
Quite well,
yeah.
Quite a lot. Yeah.
I love Charlie Chaplin. I don't have near enough of his work in my collection, but I enjoy watching him. In case you missed the title of the show on, you know, the episode title or the, you know, the first thing I said, we watched 1936's Modern Times starring Charlie Chaplin. This was the first film he made after the advent of sound really came into the movies, but he purposefully chose to continue to make a silent film.
He didn't want to do a talkie with the tramp.
Right. Now, that being said, there are jarring elements of sound effects and a video screen talking to people, but the tramp, but everybody you quote-unquote see in real meat space in the movie doesn't talk. It's all subtitles or actions or music cues. So we meet the tramp, his classic character, and he's working on an assembly line in a big factory, and he suffers greatly due to the stress and repetition and the pace. Like, he's screwing bolts down with both hands, and when it's his turn to take a break, his arms just keep going in that fashion kind of thing. Very physical humor. He eventually suffers a nervous breakdown, runs amok, and gets fired because he's kind of destroyed things.
Yep.
Following his recovery, he's unemployed and through no fault of his own gets mistaken for the leader of a communist demonstration and goes to jail. A flag falls off a truck. He picks it up and begins waving it like, hey, you lost your flag. And right around the corner behind him come this communist parade that he is now leading with a red flag.
Viva Libertad.
Yes. So he's in jail. Somebody smuggles in cocaine, and he accidentally ingests it. And in the ensuing falderaw, doesn't end up back in his cell, which works in his favor because he ends up thwarting a jailbreak. He becomes the darling of the warden and the other the police officers, and when his time is up, he begs to stay in prison. And they laugh and, you know, kick him out.
Yeah.
He tries unsuccessfully to get some jobs, and it doesn't work. And he meets an orphan girl named Elaine. Her family has recently been separated. The children have been taken away from the father, who is very poor and can't care for them, and she escapes all that. She's the older of the children, so I'd say teenager, or late teens, maybe. She steals a loaf of bread. She's about to get arrested, and the tramp says, no, I stole it, because he wants to go back to jail.
Jail was comfortable.
Everybody liked him there. He didn't have to do a thing.
Three hots and a cot, man.
Yep.
And because he was a hero, he got his own cell.
Yep. They figure out, no, she stole the bread, and he continues to try to get arrested, which he does. Ends up in the paddy wagon with her. It crashes, and they run away. He gets a job as a night guardsman, and sneaks her in so she has a place to stay at least. He meets one of the olfactory workers who has also lost his job, and they begin to drink and make merry in the store's cafeteria, and in the morning, he gets fired.
Well, he was drunk on the job.
Yeah. Actually, he goes to jail, I believe.
For 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah, for 10 days. When he gets out, Elaine is there to meet him, and she's made this very run-down shack. It's their home. Okay. He's cool with this. News the factory is opening back up. So he runs to get a job, and he does, which...
Gets in.
Adds into more physical humor and shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Then, suddenly, before the factory even opens, everybody goes on strike. So he walks out, and he trips and falls, and a brick flies over, hits a policeman in the head. He gets arrested for throwing a brick at a cop, and goes back to jail.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks later, he's let out again. Elaine is now a cafe dancer, and she gets him a job as a singing waiter, which has one of my favorite Chaplin bits. As the singing waiter, this nonsensical song, because he can't remember the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
The police show up. They're looking for Elaine because she's a runaway. And they want her back. The two escape. And, you know, all hope seems lost, but he assures her, you know, we're going to be okay if we stick together. And they walk off into an uncertain future, but hopeful. So, what did you think, my friend?
So, I have great respect for Chaplin. Mm-hmm. I prefer Keaton. But I love Chaplin's work as well. The Tramp has never been my favorite of his characters, though. Luckily, the Tramp features less as a tramp in this. And you get... Chaplin seems to have focused himself away from being political while also having a decidedly political movie.
Yes.
About the Depression and about mechanization and... work and the lack thereof, etc. and so forth. And so I really enjoyed that. I kind of, with my study of history and so on and so forth, and then seeing how somebody as smart and accomplished as Chaplin was, how he put that in 1936, you know, it's like doing a Hitler movie in 1942. You know, it just wasn't done. But it was, but not often.
Yeah.
To be or not to be. The Jack Benny version was done like that.
There's another Chaplin movie we need to watch.
The Great Dictator. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And so watching somebody say prison is the better choice for my life, you know, is an interesting statement to make anyway.
You know? Yes.
And so I loved that stuff. I loved the juxtaposition of all these things. The idea of talking about freedom and being able to make it and do these things, even if I have to work for them, you know, butted up against... But the most comfortable he is in the entire movie is when he's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has one of my favorite scenes in silent movie history is in this movie. And I've only seen it out of context before this. The roller skating in the shop.
Yes. Which is, if you weren't going to bring that up,
which
I
is
was.
All done during... It's with a matte painting. And... I don't know if you've seen it, but there is only one shot lasts maybe a couple less than a second, a couple of frames maybe, of of being able to see that it's a matte painting, where as he's skating, the skate goes behind the painting. Because the it's just on the floor, and then the painting is put actually in the foreground. It's right in front of the it's this little bitty index card painting that's put in front of the camera. And it is it's amazing to watch. It is glorious.
Oh yeah, it is the way he uses perspective in that scene alone to make you think that there is a bigger threat, essentially, because he's skating near a quote open railing that would fall down two stories or something like that.
And it
it's pretty amazing.
It's amazingly done. And Keaton would have had an actual hole there.
Yes.
Chaplin used his thinking bits a little bit more and said, yeah, maybe I don't need to actually skate blindfolded next to a hole.
Yeah.
Maybe. I love the final shot of this. This was the last time the tramp was seen on screen. I know it was supposedly the last. It was the last movie that he played the tramp, though.
No, in The Great Dictator, which is the next movie, he used. I don't necessarily know if he refers to that character in that movie as the tramp, but he uses that general clothing style and costuming.
Well, that takes away from the last scene, because the last scene is them walking into the sunset or the sunrise.
Yes.
I guess sunrise, because they're in California going and it's morning. So,
but this marks the last time where you see the tramp in a non-speaking role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the next movie, The Great Dictator, and I want you to watch this, so I'm not going to say too much about it. Chaplin's character as the tramp, if that's what you want to call him, doesn't say much, but you hear a voice, and it is a little, okay. So I would agree with you that this is the last time that the traditional tramp is on screen.
Okay. I mean,
because The Great Dictator is a whole nother film altogether.
Well, yes, and I know the basic structure of The Great Dictator. I just haven't seen it. So
yeah.
But it's great. You know, it's the first time that we've heard Charlie Chaplin, I think, on audio in a movie. Because he actually actually did sing the song, J'ai cherché après Titine, something like that. You know,
yeah.
The nonsense song.
The nonsense song, yeah. And that is one of my favorite bits of the entire movie, just watching his physicality during it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he's saying, but I get the gist of the song.
Would you like to know?
Nothing. Sure.
He is saying nothing. It is a song that is written, and the lyrics were written to sound vaguely French and or Italian, but which actually mean literally nothing. Not like they translate into the word nothing. There's no meaning. It's all gibberish.
That is amazing.
And so doing that and letting the actions tell the story of the song are really what help it stand out to me.
What's I cannot even pronounce this word. There is a 70s song by an Italian singer, Andriano Celentano.
Right.
He made a song that's gibberish, but it sounds like English. And me, as an English speaking person, I hear it. I'm like, I know this. No, I don't. I know these words. No, I don't.
Prizen colon nensinane cusel.
Yep, that's it.
It was written specifically to sound like what English sounds like to non-English speakers.
Uh-huh.
And done in an American accent if you're doing it correctly.
Yep.
As though there were only one American accent.
Yeah.
Well, it was the 70s. There was only one that was getting across the, really getting across the pond.
This is true. So, So, what's your kind of final take on modern times?
See it, just straight up. You are rarely going to go wrong watching the giants of the silent film era as they're figuring out how to do comedy on film when all they really had before it was the stage. You know, and being silent really probably helped make these movies as timeless as they are. There is nowhere near the problematic material in these movies as you would have in something that was done in the 50s, like Vertigo, or in the 70s, or even in the early 2000s, like the one that you're trying to forget. you know what I mean? Is you watch these and you can't even say that it's because of the censorship stuff, because the motion picture the standards weren't in place yet. This is all pre-code movies. And to tell a story that, you know, the basic story of this is dude falls in love. He and, you know, dude and dudette are homeless and need to find work and place to live and are befuddled at every turn. You know, it comes down to is kind of that. So it's absolutely a watch. And it's Chaplin. I mean, again, you know, whoever Chaplin was in real life on screen, amazing, amazing actor and director, you know?
Yeah. I'm really glad you liked it. I was a bit worried, but I'm glad you liked it.
Not with this one. Yeah. Don't make me watch The Kid again, but
I have no intention of doing that. So I think it's your turn.
Oh, I'll come up with something.
Cool.